We now bring to these microphones David James for our weekly conversation about an issue confronting the body of Christ. The church needs to have an understanding, and basically a biblical understanding, of what the issue is focused on. We're going to talk to David, not in the United States as normal, but this week and next we're going to be catching David on his last international trip of this year, this time in India. It's been quite a busy year of ministry and travel for you, David, and let this be known to everybody because a little bit of a muffled sound, but when we're talking to somebody way over there in India, you can understand why. David, quite a interesting year of ministry.
Yes, it really has been. Having a great time here in India teaching at the seminary. And I was just adding up my numbers for my year-end report. I've had the opportunity to minister in 10 countries, 7 different states. I had 58 flights through 23 airports, taught 16 courses in 11 different schools, and spoke in 12 different churches. So it's been quite a year.
It certainly has. You need a rest, buddy, so get home as soon as you can and lay down and rest over the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. David, several months ago, we discussed the series of undercover abortion videos that had a tremendous impact on the pro-life and pro-abortion debate. Now this week, an article from back in October came to our attention about at least a couple of churches and their pastors going to abortion clinics to specifically bless them and stand against pro-life protesters. Talk to us about this.
Yes, it's true. As amazing as it sounds, it really is true. It happened in the state of Ohio. There's a United Methodist Church pastor, a woman named Lori Young, who says that she believes that pro-life protesters in front of Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities have misguided faith. And she thinks that these clinics should be blessed, which is why she went out to these abortion facilities in October to ask God's blessing upon them. She actually heads up a group called Ohio Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. She says they run an all-options counseling hotline for women facing crisis pregnancies, and she is 100% behind all this.
You know, it's interesting. This female pastor, which when you go to the Word of God, is not liable, but actually she's trying to defend her actions by the Word of God. It really shows just how much people are willing to twist the Word of God to justify absolutely anything.
It really is. Some of her statements are just really quite unbelievable. In defending her position, she made the following statement. Christianity, like most faiths, is founded on love. Well, that's not true. Most faiths are not founded on love. They're founded on fear. But beyond that, she said, watching protesters shouting judgment and hate based on what they call religion is horrible. She says, is that loving God? Is that loving your neighbor as yourself?
Quite interesting, this lady using and trying to twist the Word of God to justify what she's doing. You know, in another reaction to the abortion videos that we have talked about in the past, some others are producing pro-abortion videos and writing articles, including some claiming to be Christians.
You're right. In fact, I was just reading just a little while ago as I was doing some last-minute research for this. There is a young lady who grew up in a Christian home, claimed to be a born-again Christian. She did, unfortunately, end up being raped. She changed her mind. She went from being pro-life to pro-abortion, or even I would call it pro-death. She wrote in an article, she says, over time, I came to change my mind. My perspective on what the Bible had to say about unborn life shifted, and I came to the conclusion that the Bible and the majority of Christian theological history supports unborn life as potential life. And when she writes potential life, she means that once a baby is born, it's actual life, but before it actually leaves the mother's womb, it's only potential life and is not real life. And then she tries to say that that's been the historical position of the church, and that is the teaching of the Bible. And that just could not be more wrong.
Absolutely. It's twisting the scriptures. It's twisting history. And, of course, God's Word, and you'll get to that, I'm sure, in a moment when I ask you other questions, shows us that He is all pro-life. Well, a few weeks ago, we were discussing where the various presidential candidates stand on several of the issues, including this one on abortion, and it seems that Dr. Ben Carson brings a unique perspective to the discussion that we've never really had before from a presidential candidate.
That's absolutely true. You know, everyone has to admit the fact is that Dr. Ben Carson is a renowned neurosurgeon, perhaps the most successful, most brilliant neurosurgeon of this generation. And one of his specialties is doing neurosurgery on premature babies. He's even the only doctor that I'm aware of that actually separated conjoined twins who were conjoined with the brain at birth. And he made the statement that he would love to see Roe versus Wade overturned and make abortion illegal nationwide with almost no exceptions. And one of the points he makes is that people try to hide behind the idea of saving the mother's life. And he says, from his perspective as a doctor, that that situation with today's medical advancements, where the mother's life is in danger if the baby is born, is virtually non-existent.
Wow. Very interesting perspective from Dr. Ben Carson. Well, this suggests then that science and medicine itself may actually contribute to completely undermining one of the biggest issues in the entire debate, and that has to do with the question of when does life begin?
Well, I was just discussing this issue with one of the professors here just yesterday, and the thing that I pointed out is when you have medical advances on the one end of the fertilization side with in vitro fertilization, and that being taken further forward as time goes by, and then you have premature babies that are being born and survive earlier and earlier. And I honestly believe that it's simply a matter of when, not a matter of if, that science is going to be able to take a baby from in vitro fertilization and completely have that baby come to full term and very possibly completely outside the mother's womb because of these medical advances. And if that happens, then that completely takes away the argument about when life begins, because you will no longer be able to say, well, it's only while the fetus is in the mother's womb, it only becomes a baby after it leaves the womb. The day is coming, and we're very close to it, when this argument will have no basis whatsoever.
David, as someone who travels to many countries, and as I recall, it's around 10 countries this year, what do you know about the overall situation concerning the legality of abortions worldwide?
Well, I did some research on that. You're right. There are 97% of all countries do allow abortion to save a mother's life. About 50% allow it in cases of rape and incest. But as many as 34% allow it simply for social and economic reasons. And perhaps most tragic of all is nearly 30% allow it on demand at the mother's request with no other reason except that she wants to have an abortion. And that includes North America and most of Europe.
The founder of Planned Parenthood here in the United States, as we've talked before, David, was a proponent of a philosophy that seeks to limit the number of births among those in a population that they deem as undesirable. Now, as I understand it, India, where you are right now, has this type of thinking embedded in parts of its culture as well, and it's affecting the entire population, isn't it?
Well, it actually is. The founder of Planned Parenthood, a woman named Margaret Sanger, was known to be someone who believed in eugenics, which is the limiting of populations through birth control. And here in India, in some rural areas, all baby girls are killed. There are certain people who take on the role, and they're actually called daughter butchers. You know, naturally, girls actually outnumber boys in terms of number of births, but there are places in India where the ratio is about only 900 females to 1,000 males. So there is a tragic difference going on, and it has to do with what they see as economic advantages. There's one district in India that it was reported that 100 girls were killed every month. So here's what you have. If people are putting economic advantages and personal preferences above the Word of God, and they're just simply engaging in murder.
Well, as you said, speaking of the Word of God and what should be done, we always want to consider at least a couple of biblical principles and passages that directly deal with this overall issue. Do that for us as we conclude our conversation.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, first, men and women are created in the image of God, and that is from the moment of conception. Psalm 127 says that children are a gift from the Lord. In Psalm 53, David said that in sin my mother conceived me. So he considered himself a person at the point of conception. God made the choice that Christ would come through the line of Jacob while both he and his brother Esau were in the womb before they were born. The author of Hebrews says that the Levites offered sacrifices to the priest Melchizedek through Abraham generations before they were born because they were in the loins of Abraham. And so over and over again, we find that the Word of God shows that God considers children living human beings from the very moment of conception, and there is no way to escape that conclusion.
And otherwise, it would be blasphemy against Almighty God. David James, in our conversation on a weekly basis, we discussed different issues, this time the abortion situation and what is life, when does it begin, etc. You may want to re-listen to this. Go back to our website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network, and you can re-listen. This is a very important discussion we had today. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk on another issue next week. Looking forward to it.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Talk to you next week.